Welcome to Season 2 of White Shores, the podcast for spiritual beings having a human experience. Let me invite you to walk once more beside me on White Shores to talk about the real meaning of life and being sensitive, intuitive, a mystic in a material world. Let's talk about dreams, rituals, personal transformation, the possibility of an afterlife, angels and other infinite possibilities. Season 1, recorded in 2019, featured interviews with some of the world's leading scientists currently researching consciousness, the existence of the mind separate from the brain. Listen to those mind-opening interviews if you can, because they left clear footprints in the sand for the carefully selected healers, psychics, mediums, authors, artists, and experts featured in Season 2 to follow, and speak to us from their hearts, the place where all love and wisdom begins, and to speak to us in 2020, the year the world turned upside down and spiritual clarity needed as never before. So, now the scene is set, let's walk barefoot on the sand and then pause a while to gaze together at the horizon to see what magic lies beyond the material. Thank you for arriving safely today on White Shores. I'm so happy you are here, as we are going to talk about angels, those invisible spiritual beings. My special guest is an angel and archangel alchemy specialist. And as the world struggles to come to terms with the pandemic, I feel we need to know angels are watching over us more than ever. Do stay tuned after the interview too for another piece of heaven, music. Listening to great music can help unite both the creative and logical parts of your brain and bring some much needed inner peace. To return to my guest, she believes in angels, something good in everything she sees. It's so tempting to sing that famous ABBA song right now, but I will resist. Seriously though, this season would not have been complete without mention of angels, our heavenly guides, as my solo episode about angels in Season 1, where I gave my take on angels, and if you want to listen to that, it's episode 14 of Season 1. That episode remains among the most downloaded of the entire series. Lesson for me there, as I'm just talking about angels and my research and beliefs about them, suggesting that sometimes less is more, and I don't always need to reach out to scientists, experts and guests and others to offer you something of value and comfort. I'm aware many of my readers first found out about me through my Angel Story collection books, my Heaven and Afterlife books too, and I promise to return to them at some point. But my mission now is to do all I can to help bring more credibility to the movement, as it took my appearance on Russell Brand's Under the Skin podcast, episode 71, if you want to check it out, for me to realise there is justification for the skepticism he threw at me, albeit in a very humorous way. So that's why Season 1, recorded last year, explored the very credible science of consciousness that is out there right now. And that's why Season 2, this season, presents to you authentic souls working in the movement that I can endorse with good conscience because they work from their hearts, not their pockets or egos or any publisher brand. And on that high note, I can't wait to introduce my next guest to you. She's beautiful inside and out, as all my guests on White Shores are. We are going to talk about angels and ascension, spiritual awakening, life, death, the universe and everything. There's plenty of laughter in this interview too, which is perfect for the angelic theme, as the reason angels can fly is they take themselves lightly. I feel spirituality often takes itself a little too seriously. More laughter, less meditation has increasingly become my mantra. I do hope this interview makes you smile. Stay tuned. If you would like to find out more about my books, Warning, I'm a serial spiritual writer. There are a lot of them. My research, my media appearances and online talks and events, as well as my latest title and opportunities to win free gifts, please do visit www.teresachung.com and subscribe to my newsletter. If you want to listen to Season 1, you can find it on the podcast page of my website, and all episodes of both Season 1 and Season 2 are available on iTunes or wherever you download your podcast. Be honoured and grateful if you could leave a review there, as it helps the podcast get wider circulation and spreads the word that spirit is real. Walking beside me today on White Shores is the perfect guest for everyone who is cosmically curious. I think that's every one of us right now, as we battle this pandemic and try to make sense of our lives, the universe, as never before. One of those people who can offer us that deeper meaning and insight and perhaps suggest ways to cope and grow stronger from what we are all going through right now is Archangel Alchemist Alexandra Wenman. As a previous editor of Prediction Magazine over here in the UK and author of numerous features and books, and my co-author actually for 21 Nature Rituals, pioneer of precious wisdom and archangel alchemy and priestess of the divine feminine, Alexandra Wenman. I got there in the end with all those amazing, amazing names I was reading and words, is fast becoming one of the go-to voices for the cosmically curious. Devoted to normalizing the conversation about spirituality and awakening, Alexandra brings the out there in here with her down-to-earth approach to channeling higher wisdom, accessing our soul records, and recognizing our true multidimensional nature and honoring our inner divinity. She's a cosmic compass, in other words, a light bringer, an activator, an alchemist, channel, and seer. She facilitates deep healing and transformation by connecting you with your higher self and your guides. I could go on and on. There's so much to say about this incredibly fascinating lady, but I'm going to let her do that, not me. Hello, Al. Can I call you Al?
You can call me Al. Thank you so much for having me, honey.
Well, thank you. This is exciting. Anyway, let's plunge right in. The world's in a state. I think we can agree that right now. All we thought we ever knew has been thrown up in the air. You're a channel. And if you're listening and you're not quite sure what a channel is, that means receiving insight and intuition from a higher, invisible or spiritual source. So, Al, what are your guides, your angels, telling you about the current situation?
Well, it started for me about nine months ago, actually. I could feel something in my body that was brewing, and one day I was coming home from the office on the tube after seeing my clients, I think it was last summer, and my huge big protection team kind of all stepped in, and that includes like these huge big indigo angels, and they basically said to me, we're bringing protection around you. And I could feel it. It was like a lockdown. And part of me sort of went into a little bit of, oh God, I hope there's not going to be a terror attack or something. Like, it felt big, whatever it was. And they said, no, you're not to worry. We're putting this protection around everybody because we're about to have the changing of the guard, is what they called it. And I asked, what is the changing of the guard? And they said, basically that people who've been, and I don't want to go down any rabbit holes here, but basically it's going to mean that people who have been working in their integrity for a long time but kind of been stepped on or used in order for people not in their integrity to get ahead are actually going to be given a leg up. So those of us who are actually working from the heart and leading and guiding from the heart are going to start being given the step up into their roles of leadership and to empower others, really. And I don't know, the thing is, they don't kind of give me nitty-gritty details on the kind of ground level, but they give me the bigger picture in many senses of the word. And so they've told me, it is, I know that it looks scary from where we sit in the 3D, and obviously there are a lot of souls passing over at this time from the coronavirus. But ultimately, we are in this huge, big paradigm shift. It's something that's been prophesied about for eons. and we're in it. And it, you know, it basically it's forcing us on a global scale to come back to our hearts and to start living from a place of inclusivity, kindness, compassion, not to, you know, to actually look after the innocent among us, the elderly and the children and the women and those that are more vulnerable in our society, the animals, you know, taking care of Mother Nature and Mother Earth. And we're already seeing evidence that it's working, you know. It's very sad, though. I mean, it's a shame that it's almost come to this for us to wake up. But the guides and the angels say that this was always part of the plan. Like, because we live in a universe that's built on duality, we have light and dark and good and bad and right and wrong, and that's how humanity has sort of operated for a long time. We've needed to understand the nature of our own shadow in order to come into a place of lasting love consciousness, divine consciousness. And that's not light or dark. That is kind of the combination of both. So it's about bringing balance to our own light, our own shadow, and coming into a state of pure compassion for ourselves and each other. And it opens this new field of divine love consciousness that we're going to be living from. So it really is like a harmonic of everything.
Wow, that's so eloquently put. Thank you for that. There's so much food for thought that I'm sure a lot of people are going to have to re-listen to that. Do, if you get a chance, listen to it again and let the divine, that felt like a divine download, Alexandra, from my point of view. That was amazing. Talking about divine downloads, you connect with your guides and your angels. Now, for people out there who maybe don't feel connected in that way, or it's all new to them, can you explain that process, how it feels to you? Just explain it for people. It's just like, what is this lady saying? Can you explain for maybe people who are not that comfortable with that thought?
I can.
Not comfortable is not the right way to say it, but not just, it's new, it's
not
like
familiar.
What? yeah or it doesn't happen to them, or they wish it did and it doesn't. So just for people like that, how does it feel?
The thing is, for most people it probably does happen, but it is about attuning to your sensitivity. First and foremost, we really are sentient beings. We're feeling beings. So angels will come in and light guides will come in and connect with you through your feelings first and foremost. And I actually teach people how to open up and channel. And it's easier than you think. I believe this is actually part of all of our divine gifts, our divine blueprint, and that we should all have access to it. But the way it started for me, I basically came into this life very open because I died at birth and was resuscitated as a tiny baby. So I believe I came in already with like one foot in this world and a very big foot in the beyond, because I've always been able to see beyond this reality. So I'm very clairvoyant. So how it works for me is I have really powerful visions, but they're waking visions, almost like waking dreams, except that they're very physical, some of them. So I it's all my senses are combined. It's a very holographic experience. I can feel spirit, I can see, and I can do mediumship, but I mostly work in like higher frequency energies like angelics and star beings, also elementals like fairy energies, but it's very multidimensional. So ascended masters and all kinds of guides and spirit can come in at any time once I'm sort of sitting and opening to see who's around. But to me, it's very much people might think that this experience, this channeling and this gift is like there's no point to it, like it's a bit of a woo-woo thing and what would you do with it? But in my experience, it's one of the most empowering gifts you can have, and anyone can learn to do it. Once you can learn to do it, basically, you can't be lied to, because you're channeling ultimately your higher self, right? So your own inner guidance, your own intuition. We all first and foremost have that gut feeling. And when you're listening to your body, you are channeling your body. You're channeling your gut feeling. You're channeling your higher consciousness through your sensory abilities. And so when you follow that and you trust it, it will usually lead you, most of the time lead you to exactly where you need to be. But as humans, we've so long spent putting our authority in the hands of others outside of ourselves, outside of our divinity, our higher consciousness, and trusting others to know better than we do. And actually, I believe that if every human being were allowed to follow the calling of their hearts, as long as they weren't harming somebody else, then I think we'd have a very happy world. I think that everyone should be allowed to be lit up in the joy of following their purpose and be allowed to do what makes their soul sing, you know?
Beautiful, beautiful. Tell me more about angels. As you know, I started my writing career collecting angel stories, and it was what really set me on my path. I have deviated from that in a way, and because I've tried to bring in the science and, you know, other ways of approaching the same subject. But tell me what's your approach to angels. First of all, what are angels? How can people sense them? Just tell me what's your take on it.
My take on angels, I suppose, is a little bit different from the usual take on angels, because I don't believe we are separate from the angels. I believe that angels are higher aspects of our own consciousness. They are like the bridge between us and our own God self, our own divine self. They sort of exist in the in-between, in the unseen, but you have angels for every aspect of life. It's like they're the higher consciousness aspect of everything, like the building blocks of creation in a way. When I've experienced angels, it's really strange because it's a very multidimensional experience. So I've had huge experiences with Metatron and Archangel Michael, and I work a lot with the archangels, and it's as though we sort of morph into each other. So they can come in as a separate being, like a guide. But when I've really been channeling an angel, it's more like I'm embodying it and its energy. So I've had experience of kind of feeling myself become holding the energy and the vibration of Metatron within my own body, or Michael within my own body. But it's like I am the angel and I can see it from all different perspectives at the same time. It's not linear, and it's not like just meeting with a person as you are face to face. It's like I can simultaneously see them face to face, but I am them. I'm holding that vibration. It becomes very surround sound, atmospheric, embodied, physical. And it's like putting your finger in a plug socket of love. Like the overall kind of feeling is just love rushing through the body. It's like love electricity, divine electricity. And Metatron is that energy. He's known as the divine electron, and he basically represents the human at the highest, our highest divine point. So once we just realize and rediscover that we are divine, but just in a human body, and we have access to all dimensions and all realities, and in actual fact, we're co-creating them, then you become the embodiment of that divine electron. And the nervous system holds that energy. So you become like a conductor of divine frequency, really. So angels to me are so many things. They're like frequency. They're loving guides. They're beings of pure light. They're very neutral. Like they're very harmonized. And again, it's about the balance. So what they want us to know is that we are all things, and we have access to all things. And in that, you know, that we cannot be anything other than divine. What they're trying to teach us is to have compassion for ourselves and love ourselves, to understand that all things are possible, and that we're only accessing a tiny portion of our gifts and abilities. And this is where we're coming into this huge shift now, is that humanity are waking up. And I know that you've studied the science, so the angels are very much part of that. It's about bridging into those higher consciousness states, the quantum realities, if you will. They are very much the bridging of that. So an angel can be a state of consciousness. I'm actually about to publish an oracle deck, which is all about you becoming the angels, you becoming the embodiment of each archangel. And it's not about putting your power outside of you and saying, oh, angels, come and save me. Angels, come and help me. Although they do. From our 3D human perspective, they very much come in as loving guides and beings, and they will surround you as a separate energy from you. But when you start to really open up to who you truly are, you begin to embody their qualities. And that's the most beautiful experience. And really, it's what it's all about. You know, that's when I feel with any of it, you know, the spiritual path is all about walking our talk, and it's not always light and fluffy. If you're not, if you're not listening, and if you're not on your path, they will kick you in the butt. So, you know, and I've been through my fair share of that. I'm sorry. I always talk very multidimensionally when I go off on these.
It's like you've been touched by heaven. It's beautiful, enchanting listening to you. But for people who are listening and thinking, whoa, this is just like this is wouldn't be out of place in, you know, this is out there. And I can assure you, I know Al very well, of course, because she's co-authoring a book with me. And I can tell you she's the most down-to-earth, funny, normal, grounded person. She's not away with the fairies. She's not nuts. I can assure you that. I would not waste my time collaborating with someone like that. You know that from my past collaborations that the people I seek out are people who I believe are authentic and the real deal, because I've watched them work. I'm very, very careful about who I choose to, first of all, invite onto this podcast, and also to then, you know, my heart is where my books are, to share a piece of my heart in my writing. So she's not. But what do you say to people who say, this is insane?
Oh, Teresa, trust me. No, I'm a very down-to-earth Australian woman, and I'm very normal. I do, you know, I love going shoe shopping. I'm actually missing going shoe shopping at the moment. But yeah, I've actually been through my fair share of...
Angels in the city,
yeah? Yeah, exactly. Like, I've been through my fair share of, like, skepticism and even bullying, mm-hmm. and I'd lost friends when I first started going through my awakening journey. But the truth is that all I'm teaching is that we are it. We are it at the highest level, at the deepest level. We are it, and you know, quantum physics shows that the same energy pattern is within our cells as it is within the whole Earth and the universe and our bodies and everything. It's pure mathematics if you want to study the science of it. The energy of unconditional love is in the sacred geometry, the building blocks of our creation, and that is what Metatron energy is. It's an energy. So if you want to bring it down to very kind of human level, if you don't believe that angels exist, well, you're probably not going to have access to them, because your mind isn't going to be open to it. The way to access angels and guides is by working with your imagination, not discounting it. So people will kind of have an experience often and kind of go, oh, well, that was just my imagination. And the logical brain is there to keep us safe. So it's, you know, it's not to be discounted. But we're very, you know, in human society, we've become very linear, very rational, and very dense in our thinking. And science is changing to catch up with what the mystics have known for so long. I mean, I'm not a scientist. I can only speak from experience, but I had these experiences as a little child where I could telepathically communicate with animals and insects, and, you know, I could see angels as beautiful arcs of light in my bedroom as a child. And I also have had experiences of, like, constant, like, falling asleep at night with faces staring at me in the dark. I mean, it's so not scary to me. Like, I've seen other stuff as well, but I won't go into it because we're talking about the angels. But in my experience, you know, what have we got to lose by just opening our minds and wondering and being curious about what might be out there? Because I think it's a little bit, it's almost a little bit arrogant, I think, as humans, to think that we are the only beings in existence in this whole vast multiverse, you know?
It's not all about us, you know.
Yeah, it's like we already think that we're superior to animals, and I'm telling you right now, animals are far superior to us. So
some of the best conversations I've had is with my dog.
Exactly. Like, I just think, well, you know, it's a misconception also to think that to be a spiritually open person, you are woo woo and la la, and that you are running away with the fairies. In actual fact, you need to be deeply grounded to do this work, and
otherwise you
could lose it. I mean, as a channel, the first thing we do is, before we even open up to do anything, is we ground. We become very super present with our physical bodies, and you become very super present with the now moment and who you are. I mean, I'm actually surprised I haven't gone mad with everything I've seen and experienced in my life, to be honest.
Give it time.
Yeah, I mean, it's hilarious to me. And I mean, for a long time, I've done my work behind the scenes because I was a bit afraid of what people would say about me or how they would judge me. But do you know what?
Oh, I hope you're not now. There's that change now. I mean, age does bring courage.
I think, well, I'm here. I'm actually here to support others like me. There are many people awakening and having experiences that they cannot quantify. They are having strange dreams, which I know that you've written a lot about.
And I'm the weird dream lady.
Yeah, and some people are having, like I have, waking dreams or visions. or experiences in their physical bodies. I teach a lot about ascension symptoms and some of the
Oh, can you talk about that? I love that idea, ascension. Is that the same as awakening ascension? Is that what you're calling it?
Yes,
is it awakening?
The ascension. It's basically,
what are the symptoms?
Well, so basically what's happening is the cells in our body vibrate. We're not actually solid beings. Everything in this universe is vibrating and moving. And what's happening is we're being hit by more light. We have galactic rays and solar flares and also Schumann resonance shaking us up. And this is why it's called the quickening. It feels like everything's moving faster. But the cells in our body are vibrating at a faster rate. And when you have angels and guides and things like that, we can't see them with our physical sight purely because they're vibrating at a much, much faster rate. So they're on like a different radio frequency or wavelength. So as we're speeding up, first of all, we're able to see more and experience more in the world beyond this physical world. So it's like I find that energy around me is becoming more tangible. But what that can also mean is that our emotions can become more tangible. So a lot of people are having strange, unexplained, like pains in the body. But when they go to the doctor, all the test results are negative and there's nothing wrong with them. But they're experiencing symptoms that they swear are there. And in my experience, because I do a lot of psychic surgery kind of work as well, a lot of our past life injuries are surfacing and they're becoming, we're being made aware of them through our feeling awareness again. But these injuries can sit in the etheric field, and the etheric field is the scaffolding that kind of holds our physical, it's like the mapping of our physical body. Science does talk about the etheric field, so it is very much a real thing. But you can have things in your etheric field that you don't even know are there. And the stuff that I am able to sometimes see and like pull out of people can be like how they died in a past life, like a bullet in somebody's head causing migraines that I'm pulling out of their energy field and their migraines are going. Like, I'm having experience of things that are so not explainable in the rational, logical realm. And yet it is absolutely possible. Other ascension symptoms that you might get, I know I talk about divine electricity. I am giving myself electric shocks like crazy at the moment, and my poor cat is getting zapped. And, you know, things like night sweats, headaches, all kinds of things. But one of the main things that I'm finding is this: people are really becoming more compassionate, and actually you'll have like, I'm my own guinea pig, you see. So all these experiences are things that have happened to me, but then I've also helped clients through it. So crying at the drop of a hat, or feeling really moved, or suddenly having bouts of depression or euphoria and not knowing where it's coming from. Our trapped emotions that we haven't dealt with are surfacing at an alarming rate, and people don't have the right level of support right now. And this is why there are so many healers and spiritual teachers coming
because
out.
It's spirit knocking on the door, isn't it, with these symptoms?
We need more of us. We need us to be unafraid to get out there and speak about what we do, because I'm afraid that science hasn't had the answers for me. I've had experiences with modern medicine. And my dad is a doctor, by the way, so I'm not anti-medicine. And I think the NHS are doing an amazing job at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
But unfortunately, I've had, you know, things happen to me where doctors were scratching their heads and couldn't help. So in many ways, I've had to go and heal myself. And I have many other friends also that are kind of turning their backs on modern medicine and looking towards nutrition, homeopathy, naturopathy, energy healing, and good old psychic surgery, and looking to the woo-woo, so as we're called, for answers, because actually a lot of us know more than what the scientists and the doctors do know. So we need to bridge these worlds. It's not about choosing one over the other. Again, I'm all for non-duality. I think that the medical profession need to start working with the complementary medical professions and working out a way of how we can work together, because also we've seen, like, the NHS workers, there is not enough well-being support for them at all at the moment. And one of the things I think I'm going to do is a healing circle for the healers and the care workers, because this is so needed. They need support right now, and it's just not.
Well, I think healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, they don't make, even if they don't realize it, they are intuitives and sensitives, aren't they? Anyway,
yeah, absolutely. And I mean, my mom was a nurse. Yeah, my dad's a doctor, and they're both. My dad's going through an awakening at the moment. It's actually hilarious.
It's like the whole world has got an opportunity to awaken now, and emerge from this so much stronger, I hope. It's such so sad, though, that the price to pay is all this pain and suffering, isn't it? And why that happens. Have you got any thoughts about why bad things happen to innocent, vulnerable, good people?
Well, I don't believe that there's any such thing as punishment. Like, a lot of people think that karma is a form of punishment. And I know I was raised a Catholic and we were always taught about this eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, wrathful God. And if you're a bad person, you know, you get your comeuppance. But ultimately, it's just balance. It's karma is about, you know, bringing things back into balance and learning from our mistakes. And so you might find, as I look at, if I were to do a session with a client, for example, oftentimes I can see their past life. So you might have someone who's the most beautiful person and such a kind person and doing everything right in this life, but they're suffering and they've got stuff going on and blocks that they can't get past and patterns that they don't know why they're there. We might not find the answer in this lifetime or in this dimension, but when we look into their past life, they might have done something where they misused or abused their power, and this is the karma that's rebalancing. You're finding it with many people in relationship at the moment. Like, a lot of people, you might think that things are fine between you and a friend, and then suddenly something comes to the surface and you don't know why you're feeling the way you're feeling. And it's just unresolved karma. It's the same when, you know, if you feel like you meet someone for the first time and you immediately recognize them and you're like, wow, I feel like I know you. You probably do. You can have people that are soul family, but equally you can also meet people and, you know, you instantly don't like them. It's like, oh, you may have some unresolved karma with that person. But I don't believe that the universe is punishing us. I don't believe in the, you know, that old paradigm idea that we have to suffer to get close to God. I think that's a huge misconception. I believe that we actually need to return to deeper love and deeper compassion, that is the way forward. I think humanity, we've got our brains wired the wrong way around. Like, I wrote a poem the other day about why do we take so much pleasure in our pain? And we often do. We often choose the hard way, and we don't even know we're doing it. It can be quite subconscious. But what I will say to people going through a hard time, because I have been through it, I call this the dark night of the soul. I've been through multiple of these experiences in my life, which, without giving details, it's like the rug comes out from under your whole life and you're literally left flailing. Those are situations where you literally feel like you are being cracked open, and it's usually because you are being cracked open, and it's all in the way we choose to perceive it. We can choose to see it as the most horrible experience and that everything is going wrong and that there's no point to it and it's hopeless, or we can choose to see it as an opportunity for deeper growth, deeper love, and to learn from our lessons in the past, or to find more of ourselves, what is at the core of us, to go on a quest, on that inner quest, to understand who we really are and the nature of reality. Most sensitives that I know haven't had easy lives. Most people I know, really the ones that are really authentically walking the path, have the toughest time ever, because we're not just here to wade through our own stuff and heal ourselves. We're doing it for everybody else too. And we've actually had a really bad rap over the years. But humanity, I think we're understanding that we're all in this together. And if one suffers, we all suffer. And so we need to be more compassionate, because so many are suffering. And my heart goes out to everyone, you know. And I know that a lot of the healers and the empaths out there, we hurt
working 24/7 right now, I would think. Because last time I spoke to you, you said you hadn't been sleeping, and it's probably because you're sending out healing or picking up things. It's people who are sensitive like you right now. It must be. I can only imagine.
Yeah, I started having strange panic attacks towards the end of 2019, and I think it was my body preempting this time.
I remember that you just vanished actually for a while, didn't you?
And then I found out, like, I was having symptoms similar,
unless it was the experience of working with me. I don't know. Well, I'm gonna leave the country.
It's so terrifying.
No, but But yeah, I do remember that now.
Yeah, yes. I was having similar symptoms to PTSD, and I didn't know where it was coming from because my life was pretty lovely on the surface, like everything was kind of going seemingly right. But then I realized that I was actually feeling, I think, preempting, like it was almost like a premonition, but my body was showing me rather than seeing it as visions. I was feeling it. And then they started talking about the whole coronavirus thing as like, we're in wartime, and they're comparing it to wartime. And then I had this incredible past life memory surface of being in World War One and going over the top of the trenches and running headlong into machine gun fire. And it was a really powerful, fully embodied vision. Like, I often feel trapped emotions come up through my body. It's like they get released from the cells and they shake themselves up through the torso. Like, I could feel it like a bubble rising up through the body, and then it will come up into my head, and then I'll be able to see it like up into my pineal gland, and then I'll see it like a holographic surround sound vision. A lot of them are like memories, just like, you know, just like an ordinary memory from this life. You know, you'll have a memory from childhood and you can replay that memory. I will see my past lives just like ordinary memories a lot of the time, and they can be triggered by places or events. But in this particular time, it was very much triggered by an unexplained emotion that was not connected to anything in this life, because there's no reason for me to have PTSD in this life. So weird stuff.
I do recall that. I can vouch for that, everyone listening. As you can see why I've invited her on and why I wanted to work with her. She's really, really fascinating lady. And if people want to find out more about you, Al, where can they go?
I think probably the best place is my YouTube channel. I've got a YouTube channel where I do interview people. Teresa's been on there.
And of course.
We talk about everything. I've got to say, it is out there. So, you know, don't go there if you're skeptical.
I love that. That's your new promo. Don't go here.
Don't go there if you're a skeptic, because we talk about all of it. And I have everyone, like people that come on are like, their channel, their healers, their, you know.
I don't know why that's just made me laugh. I just think that's your best PR ever. But it's called, I'm going to say, it's the Alexandra Wenman Show on YouTube. Please do check it out. It's a young and growing channel, and it's very vibrant and alive and just what you need if you want an energy boost, fix, information, insight. If you've got a website as well, so if people can message you.
I do. It's alexandrawenman.com, and it's W-E-N-M-A-N and Alexandra R-A. I like it because I like the Egyptian vibe, and I always think Alexandra is like Alex and Ra. That's my little.
Well, if people are new to Alexandra and you don't know what she looks like, you will get this Egyptian vibe when you see her as well, because you're a really beautiful lady, both within and without. And aww. I'm so grateful you took the time to walk beside me on White Shores. Just one quick question that I ask everybody at the end, related to my passion for Lord of the Rings. As I said, I weighed up whether I should do this because of the pandemic, but why not, you know? I still love the trilogy even if my guests don't, and I love the fact that they don't know the answers. So this is the question you shall not pass. What is the name of Gandalf's horse in Lord of the Rings? Do not Google.
Oh my god, it's fallen out of my brain. I know this.
You don't.
No,
you
but don't. I know.
Because everybody, no, I can tell you 98% of the guests that I've interviewed do not know the answer. And I'm glad.
Oh, but I can.
Do you know you're Googling? I know you are.
I'm going to tell you this. I know that Alexander the Great's horse was called Bucephalus. I do know that. I don't know.
That's a wonderful name.
But that's my segue away from the fact that I don't know. I can't remember Gandalf.
Well, anyway, I'm so glad that you don't know, because you not knowing is a gift for anyone listening. If you're listening and you do know the answer, because I'm trying to find fellow Lord of the Rings fans. I need to find them.
I love Lord of the Please. Rings, but I can't get it falling out of my brain.
Yes, but to that detailed level.
Yeah,
no, right. Yeah. my two children actually, when they were growing up, they watched it on back to back, and they would know that answer.
Oh, Shadow.
Oh,
what's
no.
his name? Shadow.
No, don't say it, Al. Don't say it. Because if people email me angeltalk710@aol.com with the correct answer, they will get a free dream interpretation. So you not knowing it is a gift to someone else.
But I did remember it through her.
I know you did. So this lady is the first guest so far on my recordings for season two who has denied you the opportunity.
Sorry.
I'm going to ask you another question.
I said, okay, angels, please tell me. Please remind me of name.
I'm going to ask you another question.
Okay.
Then, because you passed the first one.
Okay.
This is the question Alexandra Wenman will not pass. She will not pass, will she?
She shall not pass.
Remember, you're doing people out of a free gift by answering correctly. And you're compassionate. Who destroys the ring at the end of The Lord of the Rings?
Well,
you don't know, do you, Al?
Technically, it's Gollum, isn't it? Really?
I can't. I'm going to have to put this episode on last because everybody else has said I don't know, been quiet and gone away.
Yeah, I do. I read Lord of the Rings and I've watched the films many times. So, yeah, I do. Of course.
Say something in elf. Speak elf to me. That's the thing. So say me some. Send me something. Say something.
I can say something in like light language, galactic, that sounds a bit elvish.
Oh, too weird. Well, I'll tell you what, people listening to this episode, if you can say something to me in elvish, something lovely, then you are still entitled to a free dream interpretation.
I'll give them that.
I'm telling you, so far, and I'm halfway through recording, you are the first one to get right answers. So well done.
Brilliant.
Even if it was a very selfish thing to do.
I'm sorry, I'm a channel. They tell me sometimes and I'm not allowed.
You are brilliant, Al. Thank you so much. Thank you from my heart for taking the time and bringing a bit of laughter as well, because gosh, we need that right now.
We so need it. Thank you so much, honey, for having me on this show as well. It's I love what you're doing, and I think it's so important right now that we do share our stories.
Likewise, and please check her out, Alexandra Wenman Show on YouTube. And before this episode closes, with a musical gift for you to close your eyes and visualize the pure love, wonder, beauty of White Shores, I want to thank you all from my heart for being present and for being you. Keep being amazing spiritual you. The world needs your compassionate light more than ever. Thank you also to Clan Ree for the opening theme track. And if you have any questions, stories, or insights you want to share with me, you can always connect to me via my Teresa Chung author pages on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, as well as www.teresachung.com and my trusty angeltalk710 at aol.com email. I aim to reply to everyone, but bear with me if things get busy. And now it's time, the language that the angels speak, music, takes center stage. If you want to know the title of the piece, which is played by or selected by my son and Royal College of Music scholar, Robert, because it resonates powerfully with the theme of this specific episode, you can find the title in the show notes. Sending you my love and gratitude. Thank you.
Yeah.